Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world, with the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
Welcome into the Fairways of Life show, folks. Pleasure to have your company from wherever around the world you are joining us. Well, there was plenty of golf around the world in the week that was, and it was loud, maybe too much so. We will discuss that in the show coming up. Of course, yesterday, is it the high holiday for sport in America with the Super Bowl? Congratulations to the Chiefs on their victory. So here's my question, Dom. Now that the Chiefs have won again, and people are already calling them a dynasty, right? I don't know when the subjective judgment is of when a dynasty actually becomes a dynasty, but they won again. Are they now the most beloved and simultaneously the most hated team in professional football? Fair or no?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. Yeah. They're on their way to becoming the new Patriots. They'll be hated by many. Did
fair
you
enough.
Watch the game? I was watching both. I had the TV and then I had my phone on the golf, and I had that in my lap, and I was going back and forth.
Well, you know how I did. I truly think I found the key to domestic tranquility. I have the big screen above the fireplace, which is probably, I don't know, what size are they, 42?
Yeah, you have
I
that
think.
Cheapo setup. It's not fair. It's an
yeah, I got that one up there. And then I've got the big one, the 55-inch over to the left of it, you know, sitting on its own stand. So we had the golf.
Which one did you have the volume on?
The football, which is probably terrible that I'm a golf announcer that I turned the volume off, right? But the one above the fireplace is kind of mine. The smaller one is mine. So I had the golf on there, and I was watching the finish to the WM Phoenix Open because, I mean, like I said, you've got the high holiday of the Super Bowl, right, for sport in America, if not Western culture. And then it's like golf was served up as an appetizer, even though we kind of jammed our way into the main course, as it were, because of the playoff, which was awesome. And then here's my other question. Why do people hate Taylor Swift, and the ones that do? I'm not saying everybody does, but why is that an issue?
I don't think it's an actual issue. I would just say that the traditional football fan is annoyed that we have to acquiesce to that audience who cares about Taylor Swift. They want to just watch the football.
Yeah, but you're a Swiftie yourself.
Let me just no, I'm not. I do like her music, though. What can I say? I wanted to say is I think yesterday with the WM Phoenix Open and with the Super Bowl was an unbelievably perfect representation of what makes sports so incredible and why it's the only thing left on television where the rights fees continue to rise. Nothing can compare to the tension, like in that playoff at the Phoenix Open with the crowd in the Super Bowl going into overtime. You just cannot recreate that on television with anything else. That's why all the rights fees and everything going ever crazy with all the money. Everybody wants live sports. And yesterday in golf, in football, was precisely the reason why. You just can't write those scripts.
What was the word? I had heard that the betting on the Super Bowl was something like $23 billion. Did you hear that?
No. I think it was higher than that. Let me see if I can find the answer to that. Hold on
a second.
All right,
find the answer to that. And here's my last question I got you relative to the Super Bowl. Maybe this could be Dom's question of the day. Should the Monday after the Super Bowl be a holiday? Right? Should it be a national holiday?
Yeah, that is my question of the day. And I got your answer. 68 million people bet. And you were correct. $23 billion was the amount bet.
Thank you.
But 68 million placed a bet. That is a huge percentage of the population.
If you were really good and earnest and diligent about your producership, you would divide the $23 billion by the $68 million and find out how much they bet individually, just so we know, as a matter of understanding. So
what I'm saying is there was
120 million, 150, but whatever the number is, it's like almost one out of two Americans were watching the Super Bowl. I don't know what the percentage, like the next federal holiday, Andrew, is what, President's Day coming up? I mean, how many people actually observe President's Day and go, oh, you know, it's time for us to pause a thought for President's Day? But when it comes to the Super Bowl, I don't know what you call the holiday. The Great Hangover? I don't know what it would be called. What was that, Dom? You just came up with some numbers. I heard you. You're
338. That's the number.
Well, say it again.
$338.
The average bet.
Yeah.
On the Super Bowl.
That's the average.
The average was $338. So we know that. Now, at the world's, can I call it the world's largest tailgate? The People's Open? Nick Taylor trailed by three with four holes to go. He birdied five of his last six holes. Think about that for a second. He fired a six under 65 in that opening round when he tied the course record, 11 under 60. He made 184 feet, 6 inches of putts. Now, this is a guy that recently changed to the claw grip, and obviously it has served him extremely well. As to the details of what he did, I want to get you the, like I do each week when I give you the official age, et cetera, et cetera. 35 years, 9 months, and 28 days, 260th start for Nick Taylor on the PGA Tour. This is his fourth win. If you remember last year, he finished second to Scottie Scheffler by 2 strokes. He collected 500 FedEx Cup points. It moves to number 6 in the FedEx Cup standings. Those holes that he birdied, 15, 16, and 18 in regulation, then 18 twice in the playoffs as well. That 18-hole scoring record, 11 under, is absolutely incredible. So when you look at all that, think about all that Nick Taylor did. He addressed the media afterwards. It was a good interview, as it usually is with a winner, as you can imagine, because they're in good form and in a good mood. They started out by asking him about his goals, but they went on to ask him about what is he already thinking about representing Canada in the President's Cup, where the President's Cup will be hosted later on this year.
Yeah, you know, I had good vibes all week after the start. Was obviously in a position to keep going, but it was a pretty tough round to follow. Long 2 days. I think I played 30 holes 2 different days and maybe 12 in the other couple. But, yeah, I didn't have it early on today and was just trying to hang in there as long as I could. It seemed like a bunch of guys ahead of us were making birdies. And to make a couple, 2 or 3, kind of making the turn to kind of still stay in it. And, you know, the finish was pretty dreamlike. It was, you know, making all those putts when I needed to was a lot of fun, and the atmosphere has been incredible all week. Yeah, I the last I saw Charlie was at 21, so I knew in the back of my mind I still needed to make at least 2 birdies, and the number and the win was perfect for what I needed to hit. It was a 9-iron. I kind of started at the 16 in the background and drew it in, and it worked out perfect. And you know, it was funny how our whole group almost fed off each other, early on in the round, and then when we started making putts, we kind of could see it and did that in. So Hith made a putt there, and you know, got the crowd going, but I also saw the ball going in, which was nice. And 17, that back pan again. I would have loved to have been aggressive on that pitch, but I felt like I've seen it too many times in the past. If you try to force it there, you can run it off into the water, and didn't want to, you know, kind of spoil my chances there. So. The birdie on 16 was huge. It gave me a little buffer the last couple holes. Yeah, it's been huge. You know, my handful of years, a very streaky putter for 6, 7, 8 years, had good tournaments, but was never the consistency that I wanted. And the reason we went to it is my setup got much cleaner. My face rotations sought down. And so we've done the same drills for a year, just constantly repeating them over and over again. And, you know, there's a little ball position stuff and things, but, the confidence that I've gained from doing it for a year, you know, I felt like growing up, the claw was kind of a stigma. If you went to that, it was, you know, you probably struggle on the greens. But for me, once I committed to it, I haven't turned back, and I've never putt better last year. You know, I had nothing to lose there in a sense where I had a bit of a buffer on second place. So, so many of these reads out here are very subtle. You know, I'll use the pull of the valley a little bit here or there, but in the past I've overemphasized it and it's kind of messed with my head. So the last 2 years we kind of threw it out, kind of feel the putt or the break over the ball. Dave's been incredible on the greens this week, reading them for me, and, you know, we've been on the same page a lot. So you know, that hung on the right side and snuck in there, which was obviously great. But it was kind of a win-win in a sense where I had nothing to lose if it missed. I finished solo second, and so I just gave it a run. Yeah, I'm getting there. You know, I think last year was a huge stepping stone in my career to play with Rom and Scotty in the final group, 1-2 in the world, and really stand my own and gave me a lot of confidence. And so to ride that the rest of the year and, you know, win my national open in the fashion that I did was incredible. And, you know, it's been fun to be in those moments. I think last year I drawed a lot on for the Kane Open, and I've drawn on that for plenty of moments as well. And, you know, for whatever reason it is, when the louder it gets, I seem to get a little more locked in and zoned in and kind of relish those moments. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't know. I think just enjoying it, you know, everything leading up, I feel like, to playing kind of sucks. You know, you're nervous. I don't eat very well when I'm nervous preparing for a round. But when I start hitting balls, I get comfortable. You're kind of in your own world. And, you know, it's the position you want to be in, but the leading up to it is definitely not how I want to feel. So I'm going to just, again, like I said at the Kane Open, I'd want to soak it up as much as I could because you just never know when it's going to happen again. And for it to happen again, you know, 9 or 10 months later, I'm going to celebrate this one as well. Yeah, this fall, again, looking at goals for the season, what I've done so well, I think the last year has been process goals, but those, you know, you want something to look for, and the Olympics and the President's Cup were big time on the top of my goal list, so I knew playing good golf would take care of that. This is obviously a good start, I hope, so I would love nothing more to play in those two events and keep playing well here, obviously, but there's a lot of great events coming up. I kept saying that this year that, you know, there's a lot of signature events. Obviously, this one was a home game, and the Masters would be only my second time playing. So I had a lot to look forward to and kind of keep my head down and grind. So couldn't ask for a better start.
I'll tell you, I think Nick is one to keep a very close eye. I'm going to ask our next guest about this. This could be the year, if you look at it on paper right now, this could be the year when the international team of the President's Cup has a clear shot, maybe even getting close to even to slight advantage, depending upon how the rest of the year plays out. Because I've been saying it to Dom for years, and I'm smiling because he was just telling me about this in the break, and I'm going to claim it as my own. But I have been saying for years that we need to get in touch with Mark Brody and have him develop, because he's the guy that develops strokes gained and all that. He's a smart guy. We need a stat for clutch putting. You know, I got an argument one day with Jaime Diaz on the air because I was telling him that Jordan Spieth in mid-range putting is relatively unimpressive. He oftentimes, year in and year out, he's not even average on the PGA Tour. But if you talk to most people on the street and said, who's the greatest putter on the PGA Tour? They'd be like, Jordan Spieth. Because he makes these huge putts. Well, Nick Taylor made what? 72 feet and change to win the RBC Canadian Open? And there was nobody it hit harder to than Adam Hadwin, who I think is somewhere hovered around possibly making the team as well. I think there could be three, maybe four Canadians on that President's Cup team, and the President's Cup is going to be in Canada. I'm telling you, keep a close eye on it. Saturday night, I love this, after all the delays. And remember, Charlie Hoffman hadn't finished his third round yet. He had yet to do that on Sunday morning. He was asked what it would take to win. He said, and I'm quoting, the lowest score. Absolutely brilliant. The 47-year-old, 19th year on the PGA Tour. Well, on Sunday morning, he finished his third round with 5 birdies in his last 6 holes. He posted a 7-under par 64. Goes out in the afternoon, he posts a 7-under par 64. Yes, Nick ended up catching him, but what a great performance by the longtime ambassador for WM. One of my favorite parts about this, somebody in the media asked, so sometimes it happens, that somebody asked a question, and John Burke had put this together on the sound that he sent to us overnight, where they asked the question that you're thinking. And I was watching Charlie out there, hasn't won since 2016. I'm thinking to myself, maybe, just maybe, he feels like he's playing with house money. They asked him that question. Here's Charlie Hoffman reacting to the day and the week.
Yeah, I put myself in contention coming down the stretch. I didn't really falter. I mean, so I got to give Nick credit. He came back with birdies on 16 and 18 and then 18 and 18. I mean, he birdied four of the last five holes he played. I mean, hats off to him for doing that. I played my butt off. I gave myself a chance. I knew it. I knew if I got that 22 number, it'd been hard for him to catch me and left the putt short in regulation. But you know what? I love the juices. I love competing, and this builds a little fire in the belly. I definitely want to be back here. No, I want to kick all these young guys' butts. Believe me, I sit back and I want to beat them. I want to be in these signature events. I want to be one of the best in the world again. If I'm healthy, I can compete, and I want to show these guys I still got it. In the last year, probably. Yeah, it was a long road. My back's been bad, and just a lot of maintenance, and it's been nice to be able to show up every week and be able to practice and play, and not just hopefully get a start and get in the round. And I can't compete against these guys with a sore back. But if I'm healthy, I still got it. Lasting memory, obviously watching Nick beat me. I mean, watching it on the 18th green. I mean, some great fans out here. I know there's some criticism yesterday about how the fans acted, but I mean, there's nothing but gracious fans out here today supporting the WM Open here in Phoenix. The Thunder Bridge did a great job putting on an amazing event this week, and can't wait to be back next year.
The Aeon Swing 5 that's moved you in. Just a few comments on that. Obviously a beneficial program that you can take advantage of. Just a comment about that Aeon Swing 5.
That's awesome. That's it. I'm excited about that. So I guess I'm playing next week. I'm not going skiing.
you're planning on skiing? Where?
We were planning on going to Mammoth skiing for a few days. I guess we're going to have to change those plans, but a little inside story. I asked Tiger for an exemption. He said they were all taken, so I said I'll play my way in, so I guess I did.
Is that a great way to end that piece? Good job by John Burkett putting that sound together for us. I still think that Charlie Hoffman is one of the best golf swings on the PGA Tour. There are certain swings that you could watch that are just inspiring to see them play. All right, still coming up on the Fairways of Life show. We will talk about Scotty. We will talk about the WM Phoenix Open. We're going to talk about DJ. We're going to talk about Smash. It all lies in store. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by a winner amongst the professional ranks to give us some perspective on all this, because that is his job as a commentator on television and on radio. He also happens to be the world's biggest Swifty. That's the information that they just gave me. The Fairways of Life show is presented by the PGA Tour Superstore. They are the number one golf retailer from coast to coast. Why? Yeah, because of their big, beautiful stores, but I think it's because of their big, beautiful people. They are pros. They know what they're talking about. Why wouldn't you buy from a pro? You can, where you shop with them, and it's in your happy place.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com.
Welcome you back to the Fairways of Life Show. Pleasure to have your company. So, Dom, I just got a message. Social media, I think it's Posty is the name, says, I've always thought that the Super Bowl should be moved to Saturday. It seems like a Saturday night party event. What are you hearing from the people? Anything else coming in interesting this morning?
Well, the question of the day is, should today be a holiday? And right now, 45% are saying no. Who doesn't want a holiday? Who says no to a holiday?
So 55% are saying yes.
The NFL is good, but that 60-minute game taking 4 hours, it just drives me nuts. A lot of people like the commercials. They like the halftime stuff. My wife likes to watch it for that.
Oh, yeah. The Dunk Kings was, I think, the best commercial that was out there. Tom Brady, you can stay. Right? I think that's what everybody's saying. If you guys want to weigh in on the question of the day or get on our live discussion board, just log on to the Fairways of Life YouTube channel, and you can weigh in there as well. Carl Paulson is a golf analyst on PGA Tour Live. He also works for ESPN Plus, SiriusXM, PGA Tour Radio. He is basically everywhere. He's a multiple-time winner amongst the professional ranks. Lo, those many years ago, he was a Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year as well. 342 tour starts at that. 28 top tens along the way. He will be the analyst this week of the marquee group coverage of the Genesis on PGA Tour Live. Again, that can be found on ESPN Plus. And he's the host of Inside the Ropes with Dennis Paulson weekdays on SiriusXM. I believe it starts at 10 a.m., but I will confirm that with the man. Carl Paulson, how are you doing? Did your team win?
Fantastic. I didn't have a dog in the fight. It was a great game, though, and we got to enjoy it with some friends, so it was exciting.
Did you hear our question about whether today should be like the hangover holiday or something? It doesn't make sense that it's like the biggest event, a sporting event in the United States all year. So many Americans are engaged. I think people love a holiday anyway because it's a holiday. But does it make sense to say make this like a whole weekend event and make it a holiday that's tagged to it?
I kind of like the Saturday idea. I think they should move Halloween to the first Saturday after it falls, after the 31st, have the Saturday before for the adults to act like children and go out and have a good time. Saturday after for the kids, and why not play this game on Saturday night? I don't get it, but at least it started early enough for us to get home and get in bed at a decent hour.
Well, the event that we saw this week, it's funny the way you phrase that, for the adults to act like children. Some of them were acting like children at the WM
yes, they were.
Phoenix Open. I guess my question to you is it too much?
I think it's gotten a little bit out of hand, but you know that going in. You know, you look at what happened with Billy Horschel. You look at what happened with Zach Johnson and them losing losing their minds a little bit on the fans that were, acting foolish or childish or whatever you might want to say. I think it's gotten a little bit out of hand. However, you know what it's going to be like when you sign up for that tournament. If you don't like it, don't go.
All right. So I want to talk to you about the guy that did what he needed to do in a Taylor, because Nick's performance to finish was so, so impressive. And it goes to, I don't know if you caught the show earlier where Dom was talking about kind of the wonder of sport, that here in the golf that preceded immediately at the Super Bowl, we saw this great playoff. It went actually into the Super Bowl. And then at the Super Bowl itself, we see it go into overtime. Nick Taylor, 72-foot putt plus,
to win the RBC Canadian Open, his home country. First time a Canadian won it in 69 years when he accomplished that feat. He's a four-time winner on the PGA Tour. First of all, just your thoughts in general about Nick.
Well, I was watching the game with Sean Foley last night and some other friends, and obviously Sean being a fellow Canadian was pulling hard for Nick, and so we kind of all started, you know, a little bit kind of pulling for Nick, but Sean was telling me that this guy's a lot better than he gets credit for. He hits a flat driver in the mid-170s ball speed, sneaky long, and one of the best wedge players on tour. You go look at it.
Looks like we lost Carl there for a second. Here's where I'm going with the President's Cup, too. Following question. International team right now. Tom Kim, second. Jason Day, third. Nick Taylor, fourth. Sun J.M., fifth. Emiliano Grillo, sixth. Ryan Fox. I'm going to give you the top six of Team USA. You give me your thoughts. One, Scottie Scheffler. Two, Wyndham Clark. Three, Chris Kirk. Four, Colin Morikawa. Five, Sahith Theegala. Six, Eric Cole. You want me to keep going? I'll keep going. Seventh, Max Homa. Eight, Xander Schauffele. Nine, Patrick Cantlay. 10, Sam Burns. 11, Jordan Spieth. And 12, Keegan Bradley. I have to go back to the international side and give you, remember, six qualified, six captains picks on both teams. Seven, Minwoo Lee. 8, Benny Ahn. 9, Siwoo Kim. 10, Corey Connors. 11 is Adam Scott. 12 is Cam Davis. I'm giving you those just in the order. I realize, again, to reiterate that 6 are going to be captains' picks. If you look at those two sides in recent performances on either side, I find it incredibly difficult to find an advantage one way or the other. I know Carl's back with us. Do you see an advantage one way or the other right now between looking at President's Cup with current form if this were to lock down today?
I'm not sure if I would give them an edge just because of how the team was decimated by players that were going to live, but I certainly think that it's getting closer and closer. Of course, we've seen some lopsided victories in this event, and it would be nice, I think, for the President's Cup if we could get a couple of really, really close matches, maybe even have the internationals win. But I like what you were talking about. I think we've got a Canadian captain in an event that's going to be played in Canada and some very good up-and-coming Canadian players. I think that team's going to be loaded with Canadians, and the Canadians are as about a proud country as you'll find. And let me tell you something about their how crazy they are about golf. They're nuts, absolutely nuts. They only get to play about 5 months a year up there, and they love golf maybe more than any country I've ever seen.
More with Carl Paulson, folks, when we come back on the Fairways of Life show right after these words.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover. Designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. Carl Paulson is the host of Inside the Ropes on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. He also works for PGA Tour Live and PGA Tour Radio's weekly broadcast of tour events as well. He is all over the place. His playing credentials are stout as well. And Carl, I had to ask you about this because everybody's excited. Andrew put up the tweet from Tiger that he confirmed, of course, that he will be a playing host this week at Riviera. From your perspective as a guy that played the fillet of your career when Tiger was absolutely flying at his highest descent, what is it like for you to know Tiger's back out there again?
Well, it's great for the game of golf. You know, all of the things that he has to go through to play in these events, to prep for the round and to work on his body after the round, just so we can see him play golf 5 or 6 times a year is incredible. Look, Hero was really the first time we saw him play 4 days where he didn't lose a ton of stamina. Although it wasn't great at the Hero, the scoring wise, it didn't get worse throughout the week. It actually got a little bit better at the end of the week and the way he was striking the ball. So I'm hoping that we can see him play 5 or 6 times a year and be able to make it through those 4 days and be healthy when he gets off the golf course. Of course, he's never going to be one of those guys that walks off the golf course and feels great because of all the stuff that his body has been through. But to see him out in LA playing at Genesis is massive for our game.
I know that you have sources all over the place, Carl. I'm curious what you're hearing on the inside. Is Tiger's presence at these events more than just a ceremonial appearance? Is he capable of competing?
Well, as you mentioned earlier when we were coming back from break, that I played most of my career during Tiger's heyday. And from what I've seen throughout the years and from what I've witnessed in 2019 with him coming back and, of course, winning the Masters after winning the Tour Championship, I'm not going to put anything out of the realm of possibilities of happening with Tiger. I think it will have to be a perfect storm, though, if he wins. The weather's going to have to be good. Body's going to have to be feeling good. And he's going to have to play a certain type of golf course, in my opinion, to give him an opportunity to win. Augusta, you know, you think all of that experience that he has at Augusta over everybody else is just such a tough walk. So I'm not sure where that golf course would be, but I certainly think we're going to see him get in contention a couple more times before it's all said and done.
It's an interesting point to actually bring up where, you know, Tiger is going to pick places to play. Now, granted, he's the host this week where he has had great success, but that's not the case at where he is this week. I mean, he's got great history at Riviera, but I'm curious about how you think that matches up, and go to your earlier comment about, you know, the venue has to be right for him, walking has to be right for him. How does it suit the Tiger that we know today?
You're talking about Riviera for the Genesis? Yeah. Not great. It's not an easy walk. I mean, once you get down off of the platform where 18 green and one TR, obviously it's not that bad, but the grass is kind of squishy and it's not a great fit. He doesn't have a great track record at Riviera, but it's his tournament that raises a ton of money for his foundation and the fact that he's going to get to tee it up and play. You know, we're going to see where his game is, and we're going to go through this every time he plays, right? He's going to play this week and probably not play again until the Masters. And we'll have the same discussion then as we're having now. Where's his game? How rusty is he going to be? It's just going to be like that moving forward with Tiger. But again, more important, I think. Now, listen, in his mind, is this a ceremonial golf tournament that he's playing in? Heck no. He is a guy that seriously thinks he can win every time he tees it up, and that absolutely baffles me. I'd love to get into his mind for just 2 or 3 minutes and kind of feel what that feels like to have that confidence. But is he going to contend this week? Probably not. But having him there at the tournament playing as a host is massive, not only for the tournament and his foundation, but the whole game.
Did you believe back in the day when you were at the height of your own prowess that you could beat Tiger Woods, or were there things that he was capable of doing that you looked at and said, I just can't do that?
Well, he definitely had some shots that I don't have due to strength and height. You know, I'm 5'9", he's a little bit over 6 feet tall, and hitting out of the rough is a heck of a lot easier if you're a little bit taller. But, you know, when we are on our A game, we don't think anybody can beat us. And, right. You know, if everybody brought their A game, of course, Tiger's probably got the most bullets, right? He's got the biggest gun, so to speak. But it doesn't, you know, Wai Yang didn't say, oh, Tiger's going to beat me. You know, there's guys that have gone toe-to-toe with him and given him their best shot, and Tiger normally comes out on top. But golfers are a weird, weird bunch. We have this this weird confidence and hope even when things aren't going well, and I think that's what's so special about the athletes.
Do you, for two questions. First of all, what time are you on the air today, just to confirm, on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM?
Yeah, we're 10 to 12, Monday through Friday.
All right, 10 to 12 with Dennis Paulson. How's DP doing?
He's doing great, He's relocated. He's a Texas boy now, so he's up in San Antonio, and they're absolutely loving it.
Very cool.
And he's a granddaddy now.
Oh, good. Congratulations, DP.
Yeah.
To your coverage this week on PGA Tour Live, where coming in, it was noted that you are marquee group coverage. Do you already know who you'll be covering this week by any chance?
Not yet. We should get that email later today.
Okay. So when the tour returns to a venue like Riviera, or any experience that you have even at Riviera, how excited do you get as a player to return to a classic venue?
Well, I the first time I played Riviera, I just was walking up those steps after finishing the 18th hole and thinking to myself, oh my gosh, think about the people that have walked up these steps where my feet are hitting exactly where their feet were hitting. And all of the old players from the 50s and 60s and Hogan and all of that. So it really is a special place. When you find a golf tournament or a venue that's been around as long as Riviera has. Now, of course, the tournament's changed names throughout the years, but it's still LA and it's still Riviera. And it's a golf course that stood the test of time. I get real excited. I mean, this is one of my favorite golf courses. I had an awful track record here and I still showed up every year to play in it because the golf course is just that good.
Very cool. While we have your company, I do want to ask you about the recent SSG Strategic Sports Group investment in the PGA Tour. What are you hearing amongst your brethren, especially veteran brethren from PGA Tour ranks?
Yeah, this is one of those things that just kind of has baffled me. I'm trying to find out how we're going to get from point A to point B here, right? Everybody wants to get from point A to point B, end all of this divisiveness and get the best players back out on the golf course together more times than we're seeing right now. I just don't see, I don't understand how they're going to get from point A to point B. Not even close to being smart enough to be allowed in that room. But one thing I will say, if you're going to hitch your product to a wagon, this is a pretty darn good wagon to hitch it to. Look, these guys have made money all their whole lives. They know it. They know how to make money. They know how to make return on their money. And for them to have the confidence to put the $3 billion investment into the PGA Tour, knowing and thinking that they're going to make more than that back, that's a good sign. I just don't know exactly how this whole thing is going to break down.
Speaking, again, I'm taking advantage of the last couple of minutes we have here with you, Carl. We were talking a lot about Riviera. We're talking a lot about Tiger this week hosting the Genesis Open. It happens to also be a signature event. So if we're going down the road of kind of a macro view of where the world of golf is right now, what is your view on these signature events?
Don't mind the signature events. I just wish they were 120 person fields and cut to 60, giving more playing opportunities. Look, if they had these tournaments set up the way they were last year, Kirk Kitayama would not have won the Arnold Palmer Invitational because he wouldn't have been in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And I think that's really important that we give more opportunities for guys. Let's say guys between 40 and 80 consistently on the FedEx Cup list, an opportunity to win these tournaments. And I just wish, because the sport was set up as pure capitalism, go out, play well, win a bunch of FedEx Cup points, win a bunch of money at the end of the week, win a bunch of money at the end of the year, start making a legacy for yourself. I just feel like they should be 120 person fields and cut to 60 and then let the tournament just rock and roll from there. Nick Dunlap, turn pro, won AMX, unbelievable story. Turns pro, plays in a signature event and finishes in last place and gets FedEx Cup points for that. I don't think that's right. If you don't beat anybody, you shouldn't get FedEx Cup points. So just a few minor changes. Now, I will say I wanted to wait until a full year went by before I made a lasting decision on this. And I think the tour has done an unbelievable job with their schedule and the way that they're doing the Next 10 and the Aeon Next 10 and the Aeon Swing 5. I think those are fantastic ideas to boost the fields in some of the other tournaments that aren't signature events. And we've seen great fields so far in all of those events that aren't signature events. So I think they've done a great job, and let's wait and see how this 2024 plays out. But maybe there'll be a few adjustments at the end of the year.
Carl Paulson, a veteran campaigner with Club in Hand, now an important voice in the world of golf. You can hear him from 10 a.m. Eastern time this morning on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio and from Thursday coverage on PGA Tour Live. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Take it easy, Matty. Thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, folks, on the Fairways of Life show on this Monday, yet still to hear from Dustin Johnson coming up as Liv was in Las Vegas, and we're going to hear from Scottie Scheffler jumping back to the WM Phoenix Open. What did you guys think about the WM Phoenix Open? Is it time to consider maybe a different approach? We'll talk about that more as we come back.
I guess, hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal caddy. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit zerofriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. So Liv was in Las Vegas. Dustin Johnson birdied the par 4 17th. In doing so, he broke a three-way tie. He earned himself along the way his third individual trophy, 10th overall as captain of the Four Aces GC. He shot a 1-under-69. Now, Johnson was the only one of the three marquee players in that final group to break par. John Rahm shot a 71. Bryson DeChambeau shot a 74. Remember, it was kind of cold. It was windy. When he got done, here is DJ talking about the win.
Yeah, from the first tee. You know, I know obviously the conditions is going to be very difficult. A lot of really good players right around the lead. You know, playing with Bryson and John, you know, it was going to be a tough day. It was going to be a fight all day, especially with the conditions. And, you know, the golf course played, I thought it played really difficult. And I had a really tough time early, you know, just figuring out the wind and how much it was going to move the ball. And, but yeah, I mean, kind of hung around there and then obviously played really good in my last, you know, 7-8 holes. Last week and this week, you know, I rolled the putter really nicely. You know, put a lot of work in on the greens, and you know, I felt like I putted really well. And you know, I think that's kind of the biggest thing. You know, from last year, you know, I was struggling with the putter a lot, and then this year, the first two events, I've putted quite nicely, and you know, just making all the putts that I need to make. You know, like the one on 17, obviously was, you know, was a clutch putt that I needed to make there if I wanted to get, you know, take a one shot lead. And you know, so the putter was been very nice to me here for the first 2 weeks. Yeah, the game is feeling in really good form for this early in the year, and so yeah, I'm excited for the rest of the year. And obviously still got a lot of work to do. Take a couple of days off probably Sunday, Monday, and then get back to work on Tuesday. So obviously got a big stretch coming up with Saudi, Hong Kong, come back, Doral, and then the Masters. So, you know, I want to be in good form, you know, for the foreseeable future at least. Got a lot of big tournaments. Last year, I did not play very well, to be honest, you know, but also didn't, you know, it kind of goes with how much effort I put into it too. You know, I could have worked a lot harder than I did, but this year I've got a little more drive and determination to, you know, because I don't enjoy not playing well. I enjoy playing well. I enjoy being up here talking to you guys after the week's over, and I really enjoy holding up the trophies at the end of the week.
All right, you heard me say that the weather conditions were trying Brooks Koepka's smash team. They were revamped in the offseason. They won the team competition. Smash shot, get this, 10 under as a team in the final day. The other 12 teams were a cumulative 66 over par. Smash was led by Graham McDowell, who played very well, saying he remembers, even though he's been living in Florida for, he said, what, 15 years? He very much remembers how to play in the wind. Now, jumping back to the WM, because I promised you I'd get you Scottie Scheffler in his bid to match history and win three times in a row. The last one to do it, of course, was Arnold Palmer in 1961, 62, and 1963. Well, he charged on Sunday morning with five birdies in a row. That was the conclusion of the third round when he did that. Then he had four more birdies in a row in the final round. He took the lead at one point at 17 under par, but his sometimes bulky putter ended up costing him. He missed multiple putts from inside of 10 feet, including a three-footer at 13. So Scottie Scheffler was asked, starting, about his emotions at this point, immediately following the final round.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a bit frustrated. You know, I didn't really finish the way I wanted to, but I gave myself a good chance this week. Played a lot of solid golf. I did a lot of good things. Obviously, I'm a little bit frustrated, I think, with how I finished. But outside of that, you know, I gave myself a good chance. I just wasn't able to close. Well, I just got off to a good start, you know. The greens here are pretty true, and, you know, I had some nice putts early. I was able to hole a few and, you know, get myself in position. And I feel like I did a lot of stuff well today. You know, I just didn't. I just didn't make enough birdies, a few too many mistakes. Yeah, well, it was a bit unexpected. You know, we turned and they had told us this morning they were unsure whether or not they're going to repair. And, you know, you get into scoring and they're like, hey, you're on the box in 10 minutes and you go inside for food. And a lot of the to-go food's gone because everybody's been doing the same thing and trying to eat something as quick as you can and get out there on the course. And so it was a bit of an adjustment. But, you know, like I said, I got off to a good start this afternoon and gave myself a chance.
Had that three-peat been on your mind at all, or was that not really?
No, it didn't really matter.
Record scoring this week on the Astara Corn Ferry Tour, as well as that leaderboard represents multiple scores that were stout indeed. I mean, to think that there was a 57 shot, Cristobal Del Solar finished on 19 under when it was all said and done. Also at the LET, it was unbelievable where at what, 19 years old, formerly an amateur when she went to qualifying, Shannon Tan. And the thing that's interesting with Shannon's stats there, look at that driving average. Almost just a yard from 280 yards. Most impressive indeed. Yeah, with the accuracy that's what, over 80%? On top of that, so very, very impressive indeed. There's no doubt about that. All right, a lot of talk since, well, it's been going on all week about what was going on at the WM Phoenix Open. And I asked Carl about it earlier in today's show. And, you know, my thoughts on it are pretty much along the lines of saying, I think that golf is trying really hard to change its stuffy kind of penny loafer image and move towards more towards the elixir of young people in the game of golf. What happened in this past week, now it's going to be accentuated by long delays, et cetera, but it's also tied to a philosophy, is that you had the question of when is enough? When do you say when? This was Claire Rogers saying, what does everyone think about today at the WM Phoenix Open? Benny on answering with an expletive, saying it's a blank show, totally out of control on every hole. Sahith Theegala on the WM Phoenix Open said, yeah, it was pretty epic. A lot of just hearing the cheers is pretty epic. A bunch of guys with my name and my face on their shirts out there. The officer was telling me people got too drunk, but it was all in good fun, and hopefully everyone stayed safe. It's a blast. It's a blast. There's definitely some people that aren't the best drunks, but for the most part, it's all positive, and it's a fun atmosphere. You do have to block some of it out at certain times, that's for sure, but still kind of in full embrace mode. Jordan Spieth, not sure if he was in full embrace mode when the week was all said and done. As he was quoted here, though, saying, it was Saturday at the Phoenix Open. I think I had heard when I went home and when I came back, I couldn't come the same direction. The police officers had blocked it off, so I drove up, and I said, how am I supposed to get back to the course? He said, we're over capacity. It's hazardous, so we've got to go through a different way. Once he said that, I thought maybe we were in a little bit of trouble this afternoon, but we were on the front nine, so it was a little less rowdy, and I heard they stopped alcohol sales. He continued from there. So my thought is this, and I love it or hate it, I actually think that the PGA Tour needs more of the WM Phoenix Open. I think the WM Phoenix Open needs less of itself. And what I mean by all of that is to say that I think it's great that we are in a situation where people will commonly say, especially if they're detractors of the WM Phoenix Open, it's good one time a year. I think we need a level of excitement, maybe not to that peak, but we need a level of excitement in tour events every week that approximates that. Can we make tour events an epicenter of the social scene as well as a competitive event? And can you do it with true balance? Because therein lies the real magic. We got a big week of shows coming up for you guys. Looking forward to your company as we continue. Hope you guys have a great Monday. And until we are together again, be well and goodbye for now. Thank you.